Well, if you have your Bible this morning, turn over to 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy 4, we're going to focus in on verses 11 through 16. 1 Timothy 4, 11 through 16. So we're kind of continuing to go through some just very practical things that we can learn from God's Word, how we can apply them to our lives and live them out each and every day. This is kind of like one of those sermons. So, ministry instructions, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 11 through 16. So this is, we're going to do a little bit of confession this morning. You don't have to say it out loud, but this is internal confession, okay? And I think probably the answer is going to be different between men and women, okay? So here's the question. How many of you actually take time to read the instructions on everyday products that you purchase? How many take time to read the instructions? Well, instructions can be a good thing, and they're what they are intended for, to help us, you know, put together a product or how to do a particular thing. But sometimes the instructions that we read on products may not make sense. And I've got some funny ones here for you that I think you'll get a big kick out of, okay? So these are actual instructions on products, okay? Let's see here. Not working. There we go. So on a hair dryer, do not use while sleeping. Now, if you can dry your hair while sleeping, you're pretty talented, okay? But that's an actual instructions on a product. Dial soap. Use like regular soap. As opposed to what? I'm wondering there, okay? On a microwave meal, product will be hot after heating. That's good to know. We hope that it's hot after you heat it in the microwave. Otherwise, your microwave is broken. An iron. Do not iron clothes on body. But that saves so much time, right? Just iron them right on your body. Children's cough medicine. Do not drive car or operate machinery. You know, we would really reduce a lot of construction accidents if we could just keep those five-year-olds off of forklifts, right? Nitol sleep aid. Warning, may cause drowsiness. I would hope so, because that's what it's intended for. Now, get this one. Kitchen knives. Keep out of children. Hopefully that was a mistake. That's good to know. You need to keep knives out of children. Okay? Airline peanuts package. Open package, eat nuts. Somebody got paid big bucks to write that one. Okay? Couple of more. Chainsaw. Do not attempt to stop chainsaw with your hands. Now, how many of you have ever tried that before? Okay. And then finally, a child's Superman costume. Wearing this garment does not enable you to fly. Yeah. False advertisement. All right. Well, you know, it's important to follow the instructions that we have given to us. Sometimes these can save time, they can save us from getting hurt, and it's important for us to follow instructions of life. But we also have instructions that God has given us for ministry, and Paul lists them here to Timothy as he wrote this letter to his beloved son in the faith. And these are some very practical things that you and I can take with us and help us in everyday life related to ministry that the Lord has given us, okay? So let's read our scripture together. It's 1 Timothy chapter 4, 11 through 16. So let's read it together. Again, this is Paul writing to Timothy. He says, command and teach these things. Let no one despise your youth. Instead, you should be an example to the believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and purity. Until I come, give your attention to public reading, exhortation, and teaching. Do not neglect the gift that is in you. It was given to you through prophecy with the laying on of hands by the council of elders. Practice these things. Be committed to them so that your progress may be evident to all. Pay close attention to your life and your teaching. Persevere in these things. For by doing this, you will save both yourself and your hearers. Now, these instructions were given primarily to Timothy, who was a leader in the church. And you think, well, these are instructions for pastors and church leaders and things like that. But these very things that Paul is sharing with him, Timothy, are things that we can apply to our lives as well, just everyday folks, because we're all, in many ways, preachers. We're preachers of the gospel. We're all teachers. We all are ministers in the sense that God has given each one of us a ministry. And so these things can help us in everyday life in the ministry that God has given us. And so the first thing that Paul talks about here is setting an example. He tells Timothy to be an example. Timothy was very young in comparison with the people that he was leading there at the church in Ephesus. And it would have been very easy for elder believers to look down on Timothy just because of he was so young, because of his age. So it would have been easy for them to look down on him. But I would just like to say to you, because we have all different ages that are represented in our church. We're a small church, but we have people of all ages, and I love that. I love that. When Ashlyn was in college down at Southwest Baptist in Bolivar, she was going to a church, and there was nothing wrong with this church. It was a great church, but they kept the college kids away from the other people in church. It's like, I'm around college kids all the time. I'm used to being around all different ages. And so she decided to go to a smaller church there in Bolivar where she was with all different kinds of ages, and she got to be involved in the nursery, and she got to be involved in the worship team and other things. And it was important for her to be around all these ages. But listen, regardless of the age that we are, we're all different ages. God wants to use you. And we should never think of our age, whether we're young or whether we're old, we should never think of our age as some kind of handicap, if you will. Because no matter where you are, no matter what age you are, you can be a blessing to other people. And God has a specific ministry for you. And so we need to live our lives and set an example for others to follow. And Paul gives us a checklist here to follow when it comes to setting an example. First of all, he says, set an example in speech. And we understand that our words are very powerful, right? Words are powerful. They can be useful. They can be useful, and they can be very harmful. And throughout this letter that Paul wrote to Timothy, Paul is continually encouraging Timothy to speak with authority, gentle authority, while avoiding things like useless arguments and conversations that really don't matter in the big scheme of life. And Paul wanted Timothy to know that his words have great power, perhaps even power to break up the ministry that God had given him. His words can help others or harm others, Paul is saying. They can encourage others or they can destroy other people. And listen, why are words so important anyway? We've heard the thing, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Words can hurt, and they can be very damaging. So why is it a thing? Why are words so important? Well, Jesus mentions it over in Luke 6:45 when he said, a good man produces good out of the good storeroom of his heart. An evil man produces evil out of the evil storeroom, for his mouth speaks from the overflow of his heart. So basically, Jesus is saying that the mouth does what? It reveals what's in our heart. The words that come out of our mouths, how we treat other people, are an indication of what is going on in our heart. So what's in the heart comes pouring out of the mouth. And we have to understand that the ugly words reveal an inner ugliness in our lives, but the beautiful words reveal an inner beauty. I'm reminded of what James says in James 3:11. He says, does a spring pour out sweet and bitter water from the same opening? So basically what he's saying is salty water comes from a salty spring just like salty water comes from a salty heart. And that is so true. And so Paul's challenge to Timothy was for him to make sure that what came out of his mouth was good, was true, was admirable, that it built people up, not tear them down. And the same is true for us. You know, listen, just like Timothy, the ministry that God has given us, our ministry, our credibility, our usefulness to God depends on the words that we say. And so do your words set an example for others to follow? So he said, set an example in speech, but he also said, set an example in your conduct or your life. In other words, Timothy, or Paul's telling Timothy, our lives must be consistent with the gospel. We have to live out our lives as a genuine follower of Christ. In other words, our actions can't contradict our words. Because what happens is when our actions contradict our words, that paints a very weak picture of Jesus. It paints a picture of Jesus that is not true. Our actions as Christians should reflect that we are followers of Jesus. You know, and here's the thing, guys. It's going to be impossible to lead others where you are not. Think about that for a minute. It's impossible to lead other people where you are not. In other words, if you're not living your life in a manner worthy of the gospel, your impact as a Christian will be severely limited. And we've talked about this before, and in other parts of the scripture, the gospel is a precious gift that's been entrusted to us. A precious gift that's been entrusted to us. And because it's a precious gift, we want to share it with other people. And because it's precious, we have to protect it. Not protect it by the sense of keeping it to ourselves, but protecting it by making sure our lives don't contradict it. Because we don't want our lives to get in the way of being a strong witness for the Lord. So Paul said to Timothy, I'll get their names right, set an example in your conduct. He also said, set an example in love. And listen, we all know that loving some people is very easy, and sometimes it's very hard. Because not everybody is lovable. And yet, time and time again, not just here, but time and time again, we are still called to show love to people who might be difficult to love. And we understand love is an action, it's not a feeling. Okay, if we only did things based on what we felt like doing, we would really probably never do anything. And love is an action, it's not a feeling. And listen, that means that we have sometimes to choose to love other people. And so if we're going to set an example in love, we have to show love to everyone, not just the people that it's easy to love. We have to show that example to everyone. Why is love talked about so much in the Bible? Why did Jesus spend so much time talking about love? Why is love in the life of a Christian so important? When I think about that question, I always go back to what Jesus said to his disciples in the upper room in John chapter 13, 34 and 35. When he's up there, they're eating the Passover meal together. He's hanging with his guys one last time before he's going to be going out and getting arrested and going to the cross. He's in this precious moment with his brothers in Christ that he loves so dearly. And he says these words, I give you a new command. Love one another, just as I have loved you. Just as I have loved you, you must love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. Guys, that is the defining thing for us as Christians. You want to know what makes us part of all the same team, wearing the same colors and the same jersey? It's love. The love that we have for other people. Basically what Jesus is saying here, he's saying, guys, I'm going to tell you something. The world will know that you are my disciples if you love each other. That's what Jesus is saying. And as he makes this statement, if you don't hear anything else that I say this morning, you need to hear this right now, okay? If you need to take a nap later on, take a nap later on, but wake up right now, okay? Jesus said the world will know that we're his disciples if we love each other. But just the opposite happens when we don't love each other. The world will know that we're not Jesus' disciples when we don't love each other. Let that sink in for just a minute. The world will know that we are not his disciples when we choose not to love our brothers and sisters in Christ. The world will not see Jesus. So if you're having difficulty in this area, you need to check your heart and understand, am I really a disciple of Jesus? Because I have hate in my heart toward my brother. And that's what not disciples of Jesus do. They love even when it's hard to love. So this is something that we really need to consider. So, okay, Pastor, that's easy. That's great. Love each other and love people that are difficult. How do we do that when it's hard? Well, I think we have to pray. Right? We have to pray. We have to pray for the love of Christ to fill us, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, we'll begin to love people the way that we're supposed to. In other words, let the love of Christ flow through us to others by his Spirit. And then when we do that, we become vessels that can be poured out so that others can experience the love of God. So set an example in love, Paul says. He also says set an example in faith. You know, faith is kind of important to God, isn't it? According to Ephesians 2:8-9, we're saved by grace through faith. It's important. And we have to show others that our relationship with God is not by anything that we've done, but by what God has done for us. We have to hold on to our faith even when it gets difficult. And listen, thinking about this, I think that's probably the greatest way that we're an example in our faith, is when we hold on to our faith when times are tough and when things get difficult. When we don't quit in the midst of hard times, we set an example of faithfulness to other people. And that can go a long, long way in pointing others to the Lord. Because when we persevere, it encourages others to persevere. And listen, Jesus is our example of perseverance and faith. He did everything that God commanded him to do. Everything that the Father set before him to do, including laying down his life, he did. And so we have to follow his example of faith by being an example to others. And then one more thing that Paul mentions there to Timothy. Timothy, I want you to set an example in purity. You know, purity is not something that's talked about much today in our culture. Instead, our society is much more interested in what is perverse and crude. And we're seeing more and more of it. However, if we as followers of Christ, you know, as followers of Christ, purity is something that we have to be serious about. And, you know, the book of Proverbs tells us what is pure. Proverbs 35 says, every word of God is pure. He is a shield to those who take refuge in him. So we're told that God's word, the Bible, is the standard of purity. And if we want to know what purity is and how to live purity, we have to study the scriptures for ourselves and allow God's word to teach us how to live. You know, some of you are like me. You know, we have two Sunday school classes that meet up here on Sunday morning. We have a ladies' class over here and a men's class over here. And I have the privilege of leading the men's class. And we're studying through the book of Genesis right now. And I will tell you, and we've had a lot of conversations within our family about this, starting with Abraham and going up through Joseph. Joseph was a pretty good guy, but in between there, it's a lot of messed up people. A lot of messed up people. And if you want to know how to not live a pure life, go look at some of them. Because they messed up time and time again. Shows you the grace of God because he still used them. But these people teach us how not to be pure. Guys, when we pursue purity, our actions are going to show it, right? And if we're living a life of purity, it's going to be a part of every part of our speech, our conduct, our love, and our faith. And I think that's why Paul at least ends that part there talking with purity, because that affects every other part of our lives. What we think, what comes out, how we live, how we love. It's the purity in our heart. So Paul says to Timothy, set an example, but what else does he say? In verse 14, he says, do not neglect your gift. Because he was young, Timothy, as we said earlier, he might have been intimidated by those who were older, maybe more experienced. And maybe you think that. Well, you know, if I was older, if I was younger or whatever, you know, I could do more. If I knew more about the Bible, I could do more or whatever like that. You know, listen, maybe you think those things as well. Maybe you think you're too old to serve God. Maybe you think you're too young to serve God in difficult things. But you're never too old. You're never too young to serve God, even in the difficult things. Because Paul reminded Timothy that he had the necessary gifts to do the difficult work in Ephesus. He said, these things have been given to you. They've been entrusted to you. You've been set apart for this work. And you and I have been given gifts as well that God has instilled us for ministry. You know, listen, I like to watch sports, and it's a big part of our lives. It's not, you know, it's not like we worship that and it's the only thing, but I love watching sports. And as I look at these athletes that are involved in whatever sport they're in, these highly skilled athletes, they lose their abilities if their muscles aren't toned and in constant use. You know, years ago, when players used to show up for spring training, that was the time where they got into shape for baseball, right? Now, if you're not in shape when you get to spring training, you might not make the team because you're going to be far behind everybody else. No, it's something that's a part of their lives every day. They have to work on their skill and work on their bodies because they are being used constantly. And the same is true for us spiritually. We have to be in the habit of using our gifts, or guess what? We're going to lose them and we're going to be weak and ineffective with them. And so we have to use these gifts and talents regularly in serving God and others, spiritual gifts that God has given us. And here's the thing about spiritual gifts, or the gifts that God has given you for ministry. And I don't know why it's this way. Maybe because God wants us to continually to rely on Him. Often, God requires us to step out in faith and trust Him to work through us in the difficult things that He's given us in ministry-wise. He wants us to step out in faith and let His Spirit work through us. And here's the thing about these gifts that God has given us. Here's the thing. Listen. These spiritual gifts aren't for our own benefit. They're the benefit for your brothers and sisters in Christ here at Bogey Hills Baptist Church and other places where you have brothers and sisters in Christ. They're for the benefit of the church. When we neglect them, guys, when we neglect them, it deprives our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. And in many ways, when we don't use our gifts to edify the body of Christ, we become selfish. I don't think any of us wants that. We need to take care of this gift, not neglect the gift that's been given to us. And then Paul says to Timothy, Timothy, give yourself completely. Paul told Timothy to practice and be committed to his instructions. In other words, he needed to give himself completely to the task at hand. Here's where you are. You're a leader in Ephesus. Devote yourself to those people. Devote yourself to the ministry that God has called you to. Devote yourself. Rest in that. Be committed to it right now. Be involved in what you've been called to do. But you know, we as followers of Christ, we understand, and we've talked about it before, that it's not just an extended vacation that we're taking. A follower of Christ means that it's a lifelong commitment. And Jesus said in Luke 9:23, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. And so as I think about that verse, and I think about what Paul told Timothy here, Have I given myself completely over to God's control? Have I given my children over to God's control? Have you given your children over to God's control? Listen, guys, let me just lay a little bit of a secret on for you. And a lot of you, as understanding, as parents and grandparents, you can make all these plans, you know, and stuff like that. It could be that God's plans for your children are quite different than your plans for your children. Let me say that again. It could be that God's plans for your children are quite different than your plans for your children. And how many parents have we seen come up here in the front and dedicate their children to the Lord? My mom did that before it was even a thing. One Sunday morning, and I've shared this story with you before, as a baby, because I was pretty much a miracle baby. She had tried several times to have kids and had multiple complications. And when she finally had me, when I was 3 weeks old, I almost died because I had a blockage. I had pyloric stenosis, which means I couldn't digest any food. And so I had to have this major surgery as a three-week-old baby and barely came through that. And once I was, you know, better and seemed like I was doing well, one Sunday morning she took me up to the altar before it was even a thing and dedicated me to the Lord. And me, her dedicating me to the Lord, guess what? It took me away from her. She lived down in Texas. We lived here in Missouri. We got to see her maybe once or twice a year. And it's not like that was easy for her and she was happy about it, but she understood, I dedicated my son to the Lord and God has called him to Missouri and I live in Texas and that means I'm not going to get to see him or my grandchildren very much. But she understood the value and the gift of giving herself completely to the Lord and giving me completely to the Lord. And her plans for me were different than the Lord's plans. And listen, my mom wasn't perfect. She would have been the first person to tell you. She didn't get it right all the time, but she got that right. Yeah. That I belong to the Lord, and your kids belong to the Lord. Let them pursue what God has called them to do. Encourage them. Pray for them. Point them to Jesus. I read a quote by Mark Deaver. If you don't know him, he's the pastor of Capitol Hill Baptist Church in Washington, D.C. And he was speaking to a group of pastors when he said this. He said, "My fellow pastors, if you want to get a lot of fake Christians in your church, just tell them that there's this free gift that entails no sacrifice and trouble." He said, "The truth is no cross, no crown." So give yourself completely. And then finally, guys, we're almost done. Paul said to Timothy, pay attention. Pay attention. Paul advised Timothy to pay attention to his life and ministry. When you pay attention to something, you're giving your undivided attention to it, right? You're concentrating on whatever that is. You watch the details. And little things matter because if you neglect them, they can turn into big things and they can get out of control. This is something that Leslie and I tried to do with our children when they were small. We paid attention to the little details with our kids, behaviors, how they treated other people, you know, and we took time to deal with these things and we spent a lot of time. And people say, you know, a lot of times, well, you guys are really lucky, you know, your kids turned out great and you didn't cause you any trouble. We weren't lucky, we worked hard at it. And we paid attention to the little things. And by the grace of God, and I'm so thankful, and I'm not saying, listen, we can point people to kids and they can still choose to do what is wrong. I'm thankful by the grace of God, all of our children are involved in kingdom work. But we took time to look at the details. We didn't let things slide because a lot of little things can turn into big things. And guys, in our lives, if we're not careful and pay attention to our lives, these things can get out of control in a hurry. Why they say the devil's in the details, there's a lot of truth to that. We want to be effective witnesses, right? We have to pay attention. Not only where to pay attention, where to continue or persevere in doing what God has called us to do. Perseverance leads to progress. And Paul told Timothy that if he continued being an example in leading and teaching the way that he should, it would not only benefit him, but what else? It would benefit others as well. So pay attention to your life. When you notice that things are going on, we talked about last week in the book of James, when we're spiritually sick, we need to go to the leaders of the church and others that we know and trust to pray over us, to help us. Because the Bible says that when we do that, that the Lord will hear our prayers and we'll be healed spiritually. Because God doesn't want us to be weak and ineffective, and we got to pay attention to these things. And not let things slide. And have others pray for us. That's so important. Pay attention to your life and to your ministry. So let's bring things to a close. Here's some questions to ask yourself this morning. Are you setting an example in your life, in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, in purity? Do you use or neglect God's gifts and talents that you possess? Gifts and talents could mean more than just spiritual gifts. We all pretty much know what those are. But what about if God has given you a gift musically or something like that to use for the glory of God? The charisma that you have or something, you know, that God wants to use for His glory and honor. Are you using that? His God's gifts. Have you given yourself completely over to God, or are there areas that you still are holding back? Are you paying attention to your life and making progress in what God has called you to do? Which areas do you need to work on? Maybe there's one, maybe there's multiple areas that you need to work on. What is God speaking to you about this morning? We're going to have a time of invitation, and as God begins to work in our hearts, we can begin to deal with these things and get right with Him. You know, the great thing about God is He's a God of second chances. Amen. Man, we're so thankful for that, because we sure blow it a lot. And He wants to help us in our lives today. But maybe today you say, well, Pastor, that's all well and good. I can't set an example because I don't really know Jesus. I've never put my faith and trust in Him. Well, today you can do that. You can, as we sing the song, you can admit to God that you're a sinner. You can ask forgiveness and turn away from your sins. You can believe that Jesus died, He was buried, He rose again. That's the gospel. And then commit your life to Him as Savior and Lord. Let me share a wonderful testimony with you. Something that happened 2 weeks ago today. And I hope that I don't embarrass this brother, but I'm going to share this story because it's so encouraging. This gentleman sitting right back here, Larry Shy. Larry, raise up your hand. You guys have seen Larry here. Sometimes he has a female friend with him, Dominga. She's not here today. Larry was at the park one day, Blanchett Park, sitting there on the park bench. And guess who was there one day roller skating? Allison. Allison loves to roller skate. It's her stress relief. She was there roller skating. She sees Larry sitting there on this park bench. And she stops and talks to Larry. And I don't even know what y'all talked about. I'm sure you talked about the gospel, talked about the food pantry, some of the needs that he had. Larry starts coming to the food pantry. And I get to know Larry. He pulls up in this truck and he gets out. Very personal guy. We talk. I invite Larry to church. Invited you several times before you came. And then one day he came with Dominga. Came several weeks, we've been here, listened to the messages, heard the gospel. And then 2 weeks ago, we're sitting down here in the fellowship hall, waiting for the meal to be ready to be put out and served. And Larry waves me over and he says, I want to become a Christian right now. And right there in the fellowship hall, as we are getting ready to eat fellowship meal, Larry gives his heart and life to Jesus Christ. And he was doing just like he's doing now, tears streaming down his cheeks. That's a good thing, brother. Don't be embarrassed by that. It shows you that God can change people's hearts. Brother, I don't know how old you are. You're older. But it doesn't matter, old or young, God is still in the business of saving people. Amen? And God wants to do that in your life today. If you've never put your faith and trust in Christ, let me tell you, he can put that peace in your heart just like he did Larry 2 weeks ago. And today maybe you need to make that decision to put your faith and trust in Christ. You can come talk to me, or we can talk after. We can meet up sometime this week. I'm pretty busy this week because my daughter's getting married on Saturday. But I will make time for you. Because it's the most important thing in your life. All right? So let's let the Lord work in our hearts today. Let's pray, and then we'll sing and let God do his thing. Father, we thank you today for your love and provision. We thank you for what you're doing in the life of our church, your people. Father, you're doing so many wonderful things. And Lord, we've only seen just the beginning. There's so many more things you want to do. And Lord, we just invite you to have your way in us right now. Whatever that means, whatever it looks like, Lord, have your way in us. We invite you right now, Lord, to speak to our hearts. And we ask all this in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.